Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Study after study has told us and shown us that we see what we expect to see, and we experience what we expect to experience. That what we bring into the world is in part what we take from it and from the experiences around us. Indeed, there are people who see the glass as half full, and there are people who see the glass as half empty. And there are more scientifically minded people who see the glass as completely full of water and of air molecules, and there are scientifically minded people who see the glass as mostly empty, because all matter is mostly empty space. And everyone in between and around those possibilities as well. There are those of us who look at the forecast or see the flakes start to fall from the sky finally after not having a white Christmas and go rushing out into the snow to dance in the snowflakes and try to catch them on our tongues, or who celebrate because that's going to mean a day off from work or school, more opportunity to play and roll around and have fun, make snow angels. And there are those who see the forecast or see the flakes start to fall and think, oh boy, I didn't tune up the snowblower. My back hurts already just looking at all that heavy snow. The roads are going to be really treacherous, and I don't think anybody is going to make the drive to church on Sunday. I confess to having worried about the weather in such ways from time to time. Life is a little bit what we expect to see and what we expect to experience. And I think that's some of what's going on in this story of the Magi and of King Herod. The Magi expect to see signs and wonders in the cosmos. And they expect to see that the heavens tell them about the events on earth. And they expect to see that those events have significance for them and for others. They're open to the stars telling them this or dreams telling them this. They have an openness to travel and to explore, to go to foreign countries and care about who the rulers are in those countries instead of only in their own, and to offer gifts and extravagance and homage and reverence to leaders not their own. They have an openness and a willingness to see and to experience that. And so they see a sign that tells them there is a new king in the land of Judah. They see a sign that tells them a new king, a new leader has been born, and so they expect to see a new leader, and so they journey out to find one. They start in the place that seems to make the most sense if you're looking for a king, the palace. Maybe they thought that a child had been born into King Herod's family, and they were there to congratulate him. That's awkward. Because they show up, and they go to congratulate King Herod, and he says, yeah, we didn't have any babies around here. And so they continue to follow this star. They're open. They expect to see something. And so since the sign isn't leading them to the place that they first thought, they're willing to follow it somewhere else. And so they find, they search, they follow the star, and it stops. And so they go in where it stops. And they find a sort of random peasant family and their baby. Now, we have the expectation, that's really not even expectation, it's hindsight. They say hindsight is 20/20, right? So from our perspective, it might be obvious that the baby in the manger, or now later in a house with his peasant family, is a Messiah. But I don't know, when I'm honest, I don't know that I would have caught on to that had I been there at the time. I don't know that that would have been my expectation. It certainly doesn't seem like the expectation. And so the Magi are willing to let their expectation of a Messiah reveal one to them where probably most people wouldn't see one. So it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, we saw that coming. But it wouldn't have been so easy at the time. But their expectation is that the heavens have revealed something magnificent to them and that there is a new leader, a new ruler, and so they find one. Now, Herod has a different set of expectations. Herod is a political ruler under the thumb of another political ruler, under the thumb of another political ruler. And what he expects at every turn is the next coup. He expects a threat to his power. And so what does he see? He sees a threat to his power. These people show up at his palace wishing him congratulations because there's a new king. And he's like, says who? I'm king. If there's someone new out there claiming to be, that's a threat to my power. Herod doesn't see a Messiah, a savior, a leader for his people. He sees danger. He sees overthrow. He sees violence. And so what he brings to the world as well is danger and violence. Oh, he says he wants to go pay homage to this new child so that he can be in on the congratulations. But we know from what happens next in the story that that's not what Herod intends to do. And instead, what he does is he tries to wipe out all of the children under the age of 2 to make sure that he's cleared away this threat to his power. He expects violence. And so that's what he sees, and that's what he gets, and that's what he brings to the world around him, is exactly what he expects. The Magi also expect, because they're open, that a dream could be just as revelatory as a star. And so when a dream tells them to go home by a different road, to change their plans, to do something else, they do it. They're open to that. And it is, of course, this misdirection that gives Mary and Joseph and Jesus time to escape the slaughter that Herod's about to unleash on his own people. This is sort of part of who these characters are. Right, it's part of what it means, I think, to be a magi, sort of like some cross between a leader and a sage and a magician and an astrologer, kind of all mixed together, I think. Sort of part of that to expect signs and wonders in the world and to be open to exploring and to what the universe might teach you. Their words about God and about what that means might be different, but the expectation is that something miraculous might happen at any moment, and they want to explore and discover it. And it is sort of what it means to be a ruler under the thumb of another ruler under the thumb of another ruler, to expect violence and upheaval and threats to power. After all, that's sort of how that political scene is working. So it's not surprising. It's not surprising. But the frame that each of these characters brings to what happens next determines in large part what they see and then how they respond to it. And I suggest that the same is true for us, of course. That what we expect brings forth in what we see the confirmation in a lot of ways of that. If we expect that the world is full of blessing and love, we will see blessing and love sometimes despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary or overwhelming examples to the contrary. We will see blessing and love. If we expect, and perhaps because of the pain that we've suffered or the things that have happened in our lives, that people are kind of hard and can't be trusted or can't be loved, then we're going to see a lot of evidence of that too. And that's going to confirm some of our expectation. And so I think we have an opportunity. We talk about New Year's resolutions and things like that, but we have an opportunity to discover sort of the lenses that we put on in front of our eyes to look at the world around us. And we have an opportunity, like when you're at the doctor's or the eye doctor's office and they start flipping the little dials in the machine to find the right prescription, we have an opportunity to change those lenses up a little bit, to clarify, hopefully, the picture, or maybe to tint the glasses rose-colored if we need to, a little bit, to give ourselves a little bit more wonder, a little bit more expectation for hope and delight and joy in the world around us. So I want to invite you to an opportunity, and I have learned that in a totally unplanned, spontaneous, you might call it God-inspired, spirit-led move, the folks in the adult Sunday school class have already done this today, so this is fantastic. But for everyone else, or for people who want more than one, I'm going to invite you to find a lens and a frame that you want to follow into this new year. And we'll have these when you come up for communion, and at the end, at the back door, some stars for you to follow. And these stars have different focus words on them, or you can create a focus word of your own, a word that speaks to you. This one says wisdom, for example, and this one intuition, and another trust. There's abundance and adventure, there's hope and there's love, there is completeness and challenge and peace. And to find a word that speaks to you, you can rifle through them. Again, you can come up with your own. Or you can do that kind of discernment via blindfold. It's like when you open the Bible and just point, you know, you can kind of rummage around and draw one out like you're picking your secret Santa. And see and explore how God might be speaking to you or leading you or guiding you by the star of justice or of integrity. And how you might see the world around you have a new epiphany, a new understanding, a new insight based on a word or an idea, or looking at the experiences around you in a different way. This month, as we journey from Epiphany today through to the beginning of the season of Lent, we're going to be looking especially at who I am. Who am I? Who are we? As a congregation, as a beloved community, who are each one of us individually? And part of that is how we choose to see the world around us, or how we are guided to see the world around us. Perhaps it's full of mystery or vision. But I invite you to find a word among these stars, or as you have already selected, or more, and to let a new star guide you in a new year. What might you see differently, do differently, experience differently when you have a different expectation? How might God speak to you through new lenses and guide you by the light of a new star so that you might return home and journey out into the world by a different road? Amen.